Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Football Friday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing?
Amazing. Good. Wonderful.
Amazing and wonderful.
Yeah. All in one.
All right. I'm going to harness my inner Dylan Gabriel.
Mm.
Elite.
Oh, okay.
Remember that on Big Ten Media Day when he dropped, how are you doing today? I'm elite.
Mm.
I was like, that's a good one.
I thought you were going to go with the pre-Rose Bowl when everybody thought he was high.
Mm, yeah, that's just kind of him, though.
That's
I think that was
from Hawaii in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's everybody got their first dose of Dylan Gabriel with that
chill.
That interview.
Pretty chill guy.
Yeah, he's just kind of laid back island bro. Yeah.
No way.
I mean, we found that out on Big Ten Media Days. They're our first time that we got a chance to talk to him. That's just kind of how he is. He just has he's vibes, bro.
He's all vibes all the time.
Island vibes.
Yeah.
I do not have those vibes right now.
Mm.
I got the living you-know-what scared out of me this morning.
Oh.
On my drive in.
Oh.
So I'm going through the tunnel on Highway 26 there. The Vista Ridge.
Vista Ridge Tunnel.
Yeah, the old Vista Ridge Tunnel.
I hate that tunnel so much.
Yeah. As I am like, I'm like probably a car length in, I hear this bang. Bang. And it is like, it sounded like a bomb went off in the tunnel.
Oh,
two
wow.
of them. Really loud.
Backfire?
It was a car without a muffler. And they gunned it. And you hear this. Yeah, I heard this. And then it was like, boom, 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 boom. But in the tunnel, it rattles off the walls. And like, you could like feel it.
The percussion.
And I was like, if I had that thought of like, I know what it was. I knew what it was in my head. But I'm like, if that was like a bomb, because I've never heard a bomb go off, I don't know if it sounds like an unmuffled car.
This could be a terrorist attack on the Vista Ridge Tunnel.
Very small bomb. Very small one.
But if I see any smoke, like, I'm in the tunnel at this point, what do I do? I was like, I'm going to throw this bad boy in park, and I'm just running the opposite way, because I'm only... I want to get out of there. I'm not going to get crushed in this tunnel. There's cars behind me.
Collapse in on you.
I'm just going. Right,
going full diehard.
Yeah, and that was something I had not thought of before. Usually, when I go over a bridge, I'm like, and there's traffic. I'm like, all right, the big one hits. What's my plan?
Mm-hmm. What is your plan?
Yeah,
put your head between your legs, kiss it goodbye.
No, it's get out of the car and run like the Dickens, because that's your only way. That's your only way.
Well, if you're on the 405 bridge, you have no hope.
If you're on the underside there, that thing's just going to pancake you.
Fubard.
Yeah.
And you're that far off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not. Now, if you got one of these.
Yeah, that Fremont's a tall one.
Yeah, you get some of these lower bridges. Okay.
Yeah, but then you go through like, all right, if I jump, like you got to clear a lot because when the bridge comes down, like debris going everywhere,
sure.
Right? But at least you give yourself a puncher's chance, right?
You got to make sure you get, this is why you do leg day.
You
get on the railing, you push real hard.
You got to be explosive off those railings,
off
right?
The blocks.
This is why you go to full depth on your squat.
Right now, I'm just imagining Russ like climbing over the edge, just going, oh no,
oh no,
oh no, oh, no.
It's like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh no,
oh,
he's
bother.
Like just stuck halfway over, and he's like, oh no, oh no, this was a bad idea, right? But I never had a tunnel plan. I've never had the tunnel plan.
I've had to go through the tunnel plan because I remember one of the last times we had the snowstorm and I left here about 20 minutes after you did, and it took me, 6 hours longer to get home?
Yeah, that's right.
Spent about 4.5 of that stuck in the Vista Ridge Tunnel. Yeah, and I just kept thinking about that Sylvester Stallone movie. I think it was called Daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he gets stuck in the tunnel it's like, all right, time to get out.
I remember that. You text me when you were leaving. You were like, hey, how was the drive? And I waited about 5 minutes, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got home in like 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, drive safe. Text me when you get home. You did not text for a very long time.
I did not, no.
No.
I think it took me an hour just to hit 405 from here, which is like a mile and a half.
Ah, dang.
Yeah, that was fun.
That sucks,
sweet
dude.
Sweet Moses.
Yeah. But that that unmuffled vehicle, really, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about an adrenaline jolt. You're like, whoa, that'll wake you up.
Well, what gets me every time, too, is just people that like to go honk in the tunnels. Especially,
just
because
I do that when my kids are in the car.
Yeah, it's just if it's one that's real close to you, you're like, oh my god, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it drives me crazy.
Mm. That's why honestly,
that's my old
why
man shaking my fist
go,
at the clouds moment.
Somebody no. like a semi truck or the Ooga horn next to you, like you're just driving in and like right next to you because that. Have you ever actually heard one of those go off? One of those semi trucks with that Ooga horn.
Yeah.
Holy. Yeah.
They're very loud.
That thing is nuts.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be close to that.
I remember
hearing that at like a parade. Somebody in a parade was like, kept honking. It was like, dude, stop.
Yeah. That thing is I had one of those kind of go off on me. I was driving through, it was middle of nowhere, North Dakota or Montana.
Mm.
And I don't know why he did it to this day. It was one of those things where I could like reach inside the cab and pull him out and throw him on the road. But I did when it. I mean, I had been driving for a long time at this point. It's at least probably like 10, 12 hours. And when he did it, because I'm sitting there, staring straight ahead kind of a deal. Like, all right, let's just get there. And I'm not asleep, but I'm just mindlessly driving in the wide open plane.
Oh, dude, he knew.
And I did the speed wobbles. Yeah. Like, I had one hand on the steering wheel, and I heard the horn.
Yeah, see, that's why he did it.
Yeah.
It was like...
Wanted to murder him.
Who needs caffeine when you get that?
God.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, that's right. That's where I thought you were. I've done the. I've been the stuck in the tunnel guy. I think I've told this story with the Christmas tree. Have I not told this story?
Yeah, you have.
It's terrifying.
Yeah,
you don't want to be stuck in the tunnel when the traffic isn't moving.
No, it's the worst. It is the worst.
Literally, like the halfway point and traffic
you just got stuck
because the car is out of gas and there's nowhere to go.
No, I've never run out of gas in my life. How many people do you think have run out of gas?
My dad,
car?
At least twice.
Yeah. Well,
I have once.
I have a buddy who he used to run out of gas in his car all the time. And I was like, why in the world do you keep running out of gas? He's like, oh, well, my gas gauge is broke. I'm like, I'm done coming to pick you up.
Yeah.
After like the fifth call I've gotten of like, hey, can you come pick me up? I ran out of gas. It's like, dude, get that fixed.
Yeah.
Like,
that can't be that bad to fix. Keep, can't be that expensive, right?
You keep running out of gas? I've never had it happen.
Also,
and I have pushed it to the limits.
Have a general idea of what your gas tank is.
Yeah. I've gone.
Just go off, like, set the like trip meter. Like, if you know you get 25 miles a gallon, go like, on 22 miles a gallon and like fill it up every time.
I tell you what, that's one thing that drives me nuts about my wife is she never resets the trip odometer.
Oh.
Ever. Drives me crazy.
Do you use yours?
Of course.
For what?
Because.
I usually will side
elaborate.
With you.
I like to see how far I get on a tank of gas.
Oh. Okay. Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Is that too much to ask?
I mean, doesn't it tell you now?
Well, I mean, some cars don't have that. Some cars don't have that, where the gas, like how much fuel you have left. So, you know, you drive like a big old truck.
Yeah. Well, I'm
you
even
probably
talking
don't
like
have
on
that
the,
in there.
Yeah. Well, it's got the trip odometer.
Well, no, like the gas. The gas one that tells you how many miles you have to empty.
Oh no, it does.
Oh, it does.
It does. But once you get down to about that 60 to 80 range, it goes down really fast.
So you don't trust the vehicle.
I'll put it this way: if I'm heading here to work and I'm starting out at like 60, I know I'm probably gonna have to get some gas on my way home.
Yeah.
And I don't live that far.
I've the closest I've ever come to running out of gas is I was driving from Ashland to Boise and we did
can't be a fun drive.
Oh, you do. It actually is a fun drive. You do a cut through where you go like through Klamath and then you go up through Christmas Valley. And so you basically go diagonal across the state.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's the problem. There's one gas station from Klamath Falls to Burns and it's in Christmas Valley. And I was like, they got a gas station there. I know the gas station's there. I've been by there before. It was 6 PM.
Uh-huh.
They were closed for the day. They were like, nope, we're done for the day. Not going to do it. So, like, there's like an apartment out back. And I'm like, okay, might get shot.
Yeah.
But Gaslight just came on. So, gonna have to roll the dice on this one. I'm like, or Gaslight was near on. I'm like, okay, gonna knock on this window here. Nobody's home. And I'm just going, all right, what are the options here?
Sleep in the car.
Yeah. And so it was like, well, let's just see if we can get to Burns. And I went 86 miles with my Gaslight on.
Ooh. How many miles?
86. It was a Ford Focus.
Oh, well, that's why your car weighs nothing.
I mean,
it's a paperweight.
And there was like, there was a couple downhills and I was just like,
take foot off.
Yeah. No gas. We were just letting that baby glide.
Put this thing in neutral.
And when I say we got into the gas station and it was like, it was sputtering like the, yeah. We got there. I was like, oh my goodness. But there was a time where you drive for 40 miles. And when I say you see nothing, you saw nothing. Me and the guy I was in the car with, we were like, this might be how we die.
Hills have eyes.
Where in the world, like 40 miles with your gas gauge on, and it's like, there's nothing in front of me. I did not know what to do. I was just white knuckling that thing.
We ain't found shit.
I've never run out of gas driving.
Whew.
I've been in the car twice with my dad doing it. Those are the only two times I'm aware of him doing it. And both were getting Christmas trees. But the worst situation I ran across, I was driving back from West Texas to Portland. And I was in the, like, leaving Utah, going into Idaho. Rust, have you been through that part of Idaho, the southeast part of Idaho, like the actual potato world? Okay. It is nothing but farmland. And this is in the middle of summer. So the bugs are everywhere. It's like 90 degrees. And my windshield wiper fluid ran out. And when I say, like, bugs are everywhere, I mean they're coating my windshield and I can't keep up with getting them off. And all of a sudden the sun is hitting my windshield, like, with that direct glare. I couldn't see. Literally could not see on the freeway. So I had to slow down to, like, 35 miles an hour and hope to God that I could get off. And it went for, like, I want to say probably 25 miles.
Steve, but you strike me as somebody that has, like, an emergency bottle of, like, Armor All in your trunk.
No, I was moving, so my car was packed. Like, the entire car is packed. Like, there's not, the passenger seat is full. Like, there's nothing in there. There's no space in there but me.
You had no, like, water? You could just, like,
no,
run
I,
on there?
No, no, I've expended that. Like, I've
run the wipers.
Everything gone. And in the next, like, 10
already
feet.
Already empty your bladder, too?
Didn't go that far.
That but would be, that's a visual right there. Standing on the hood of your car, just taking a leak on your windshield.
People driving by.
It's like, out of wiper fluid.
We're good.
It's like those good Calvin here. And Hobbes stickers.
Yeah.
Dude, and then you turn on the AC, and all of a sudden it just smells like.
Oh. God. But no, it, like. I cleaned the windshield probably 10 times in the span of like 5 miles because these crickets were just like coming out of the potato fields.
Yeah.
In a way that it was like.
You sure they weren't locusts?
Hell, yeah. They might have been. I don't know. But all I know is they smashed my windshield full of dead bugs and I couldn't keep it clear enough to see five feet in front of me. And so I'm driving down the road with my head out the window.
Yeah.
At like the lowest possible, the fastest possible speed. To where, like, my eyes aren't, like, shut from the wind.
Pulling the Ace Ventura.
Yes, 100%.
Why would you do that with the amount of bugs that are out there?
Yes, because, well,
make
I had
sure
to keep.
You keep your mouth closed.
Because I had to keep going.
I'd be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to risk it and hope this road is straight. Because
well, no, like,
I'm not going to take a cricket to the
to the
my
dome?
Cornea. And I'm just going to be like, oh, well, that's done.
Hey, let me tell you.
How'd you lose your eye? Daddy, why do you have an eye
cricket?
Patch? You ever driven through southeastern Idaho? It's like, what?
Took a cricket to the eye at 70 miles an hour.
No, you say it's cricket, and you're like, oh, the game? You're like, no, the bug. But no, it's like, because it's even though it's the middle of nowhere, it's the interstate, and it's a bunch of people. So it's like, and I wasn't the only one doing this. Like, this was happening. Like, I could see other people doing it. I don't know if that's like a normal occurrence in that part of the country or what, but brother, it was ridiculous. I got to the gas station. I finally, but I did buy another thing of the windshield wiper fluid just in case. I'm like, I don't know, man. Screw it. I stuffed it behind my seat and, Yeah, it was very dumb. It was one of, like, I had two occasions where, like, Mother Nature, like, damn near broke me. That one, I should say while driving, and the other one was driving back through the gorge after a concert. Brother, have you ever been through the gorge when it's 100 mile an hour wind?
Yeah, it's
that
not
is
fun.
Terrifying.
Yeah, especially when the roads are icy.
I had the wheel turned to drive straight.
Yeah.
That's
no fun.
That was insane. Like those two things still, those will be lasting memories until my death.
Yeah, all right. Well, all right.
Very, 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 for very different reasons.
I can just imagine you and your, like,
Ace Ventura.
Your military bro sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. Like, you kidding me? Oakley gas cans, baby.
Did you get any cotton, any bugs flying to your lip ring?
I didn't have it pierced then. Okay. Didn't have it pierced then. It was actually the next duty station that I got it done.
But, oh, of course.
Yeah, no, those, hey, let me tell you, the ballistic glass and those Oakley gas cans, they came in handy there.
You never know.
You
never know when you're
going to That's why I didn't take a cricket to the eye.
All right, let's get back to it. We've got a lot to get to. We have NFL Wild Card Weekend. We have the Blazers wrapping up a road trip with a nice little loss. You know, that's the way you want to see it happen. Just fall apart in the fourth quarter, huh?
This is what you wanted.
This is what we want. I will say, nice little loss. Mm. And then we have the college football playoff, and that is where we'll start this show off. Notre Dame heading to the title game. Boy, that's a tough pill to swallow for Drew Aller and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. No, it don't
matter anyway. Good snap, good hold, kick on its way, and the kick is good! Yes! Mitch Jeter, with 7 seconds left, gives the Irish a lead!
That was a call on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish Radio Network as Notre Dame knocks off Penn State 27-24 in the Capital One Orange Bowl. That was it was ugly, but that's the exact reason why I love college
ugly
football.
Ugly and proud, that's what you were right there.
It is my baby, and I will love it. I can call it ugly, don't you dare call it ugly.
31 of 51 points scored in the fourth quarter.
It was awesome.
The first three quarters were egregious affront to offensive football.
But at least it ended excited.
Yeah,
fourth quarter was very good. I am not arguing that.
Those are two really good defenses. This is what the conversation we had yesterday is that, first of all, we ended the show with the conversation about Drew Aller being a first-round pick is absolutely lunacy.
I didn't understand it
yesterday. I haven't understood what people have seen or what they are seeing from Drew Aller to say he would be a first-round pick. And there were still, like, draft analysts being like, well, looks like Drew Aller's probably not going to be coming out this season. It's like, well, yeah, duh. He is so far away from being a first-round draft pick in the National Football League. But when you look at college football, this is... I think we've been spoiled out west with the level of play at the quarterback position for so many years. Because, I mean, even if you look at, you know, Oregon State with guys like Sean Mannion and Jake Luton, and Oregon, obviously, with the run of quarterbacks that they've been on with Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix and Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. like Marcus Mario, there's been really good quarterback play. Michael Penix up at Washington. Mm-hmm. You look at Washington State and the run of quarterbacks systematically, big reason why. But
whether it's Minshew or Mateer.
But they've operated at a really high level in that system. USC, Stanford, hell, Cal has had really good quarterback
Fernando
play.
Fernando Mendoza's... I mean, yeah.
We look at the West Coast and we look at quarterback play, and I don't think we're used to seeing this because you get so insulated with you watch your region, you watch the football of your team and their opponents, and you don't really get to see what the rest of the nation has to offer. I think that Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA fans, they got a pretty good idea this year of, wait, there is not a... Hey, this quarterback, if he catches fire, he could hurt you, and they could uproot you, and they could beat you and mm-hmm. win a game. Like, that was always the fear in the Pac-12, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, you never know. That quarterback could get hot on the wrong day for your team, and you end up taking an L. Quarterback play is not very good across the board in college football.
No.
And I think it's the beauty of the 12-team playoff. But it also is to the detriment of these teams that end up losing and what their shortcomings and the shortfalls may be. Because with the four-team playoff and with the old BCS, what you always saw was you saw a lot of SEC teams, and SEC does have better quarterback play. You saw the Big Ten teams with really good quarterback play, the ACC teams which had really good quarterback play. Those are the ones that survived and got into the four-team playoff. With a 12-team field now, you are exposed more to, hey, these teams have got elite defenses, they've got superior running games, and they'll win in the trenches, but the quarterback play for a lot of schools is not very good. Like, it just isn't. And so that, with the 12-team playoff, you get these teams, and the way the seeding was kind of jacked up this year, it's not just the best teams and the best quarterbacks that are going to be standing at the end. And I think we saw that with both sides. I thought Riley Leonard played a hell of a football game. Drew Allard did not. He did not one bit. And I think that, like,
horrendous.
First of all, and I know this has been going around a lot, did not complete a pass to a wide receiver yesterday.
And his wide receivers have not been great this season. Like, no. Both things can be true, but, I mean, he didn't complete anything downfield to that was.
Well, the Tyler Warren catch where he got hurt was a big-time throw. And that was a gain of 30-ish. 30, and he hit him on the sideline, mm-hmm. and then he made a little run and got knocked out of bounds. But that was it. And I mean, look, there were throws in that game where he should have had 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, the pass interference in the end zone on that ball that was picked off, and they called PI. We need to stop this. And I tweeted this out yesterday. Defensive backs are low down dirty cheaters. They are. Little sons of bees.
Says the former wide receiver.
May frame my judgment on them.
A little bit.
No, but they get away with a lot of grabbing. They get away with a lot of, you know, pulling you and bumping you off your route and all that stuff. That's part of the game, right?
Yeah.
And their job is damn near impossible because of the way the rules are set up.
Yes.
We need to stop rewarding quarterbacks for criminally underthrown footballs. There is no way Tyler Warren was going to make a play on that ball.
No.
In no way. And I understand the DB did not turn his head around. That ball was so underthrown. If that DB wasn't there, Tyler Warren still isn't making a play on that. That is an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 10 times out of 10. Then there was another one where there's defensive holding at the line of scrimmage. That one I do understand.
Okay.
But that was a bad throw, too. And then the final one, which is actually counted and wasn't wiped off the board.
Whack, 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 whack.
Well, it really... When they lined up on first down, I said... my son was like, they're going to go deep. And I go, no, they're not. They're running the football. And they did. They ran for like a 13-yard gain. And I go, they should run the ball again. And because the clock had stopped, you're just going to move the ball. You do not want to. If you have a quarterback who has not completed a ball to a wide receiver, who has thrown 2 interceptions that have been wiped off the board due to penalty, do not push this right now.
And the only thing you've got going for you is you've completed passes at the line of scrimmage and or some screens above the line of scrimmage. Because outside of that play to Warren, there was nothing that he was doing that you're like, yeah, let's give him the ball right now.
And when I said that, my wife goes, why? They snap the ball. Drew Aller stands in the pocket, looks, slides to his left, and then throws the ball back across his body off platform and throws an interception. I said, that's why. And it was just one of those plays where you go.
And it's a duck.
And I mean, feel.
Good God.
So bad for that young man, because that's not how Drew Aller wanted that play to go. That's not how he wanted that game to go. I have a bigger issue with you put the game on his arm in that moment as a coaching staff, to where if you go to overtime, you give yourself a chance.
Sure.
But if you throw an interception in that moment, that's the worst thing that could happen, and it seemed inevitable. After the 2 throws that were called back, that throw seemed inevitable.
And here's the thing, and I know you think I've been hard on the kid. This isn't the first time every single big moment, this is what he does. He falls apart. It's not like a little bit. And I'm not even using hyperbole. It's every single big moment. This kid craters to a level of just, and it's not like, it's not the thing of like, you know, oh, you know, it didn't work out. It crashes into the side of the mountain. Anybody living on the plane comes out of the plane on fire. Like, it's so bad that there's nothing redemptive. Like, this throw, you mentioned it, it's off platform, it's back across your body, it's all those things. There's one Penn State player in the middle of the field. There are three Notre Dame defenders. There's nothing here.
Yeah, and that's the other one with that interception that was called back on the PI was, like, he underthrew a ball into triple coverage, too. Like, and that, I feel for the young man because that's not how he wanted that game to end. But look at the end of the Oregon game in the Big Ten Championship. That game ended with a Drew Aller interception because
on a horrendous throw.
They put it on his arm, right? You have to have more awareness. Like that, and Andy Kotelnicki is a damn fine offensive coordinator. I think James Franklin is a good head coach. But at some point, you need to be realistic. And I think that is where Franklin may run into the big issues as a head coach, is that he just says, no, this is the way we're going to do it, instead of being honest with what he has in the flow of the game and how the game is operating, right? When Kotelnicki says, we're going to throw the ball, James Franklin needs to be like, the hell we are. We can't play that way right now. Everything in the flow of that game and the way that it happened, it told you, do not throw the ball at the end of this game.
Did you see the Drew Aller quote after the game? I just now seeing this.
Which one? Where he
says he was trying to dirt at his feet?
Yeah, he said he was trying to throw it at his feet. But again,
what?
Well, I'll give that kid a ton of credit because we see professional athletes that don't have the balls to go up and talk on the game.
100%.
He went up there and he talked and he was dejected. You could tell how much it hurt him. And he was honest in that moment. And yeah, he was trying to turf it, but the defensive end comes in and the ball sails a little bit because he wasn't able to step into a throw. Like, I do believe that. But you know what? In that moment, you shouldn't turf it back towards the middle of the field. That's why it's the worst throw in football, right? Mm-hmm. That's why every quarterback coach will tell you, never throw across your body back to the middle of the field because the ball has a tendency to float on you. And when you don't have your feet set and you can't step into the throw, how are you going to turf it, right? If you're gonna say, we're going to live to play another down, you throw it 50 feet over Tyler Warren's head, and you know what happens? Even if they call intentional grounding, who cares? You live to play another down. You don't live to play another down throwing the ball across your body back towards the middle of the field. And that's brutal. That is a brutal way for that game to end for a defense that played their butts off, man. And that game was really exciting in that fourth quarter, back and forth. You know, 31 points were scored in that fourth quarter, and it looked like it was going to be just a standstill stalemate.
Dusty, there were 84 carries in this game.
Awesome. And who didn't expect that? Who didn't expect that coming into that game?
So crazy.
Riley Leonard on one side, Jeremiah Love on the other. And look, I hate that we started this show talking about the loser, because we need to talk about the winners, because there were some incredible performances by Notre Dame. And Christian Gray with that interception to seal it, that is just money.
It's another play.
Yeah, it's 50 Shades of Sorrow in Penn State right now. That's a deep cut. Let's get to Notre Dame, though, because they had one heck of a play. They had one heck of a game to finish that thing off, and Riley Leonard stepped up to the plate, and he was awesome. First is Rust with SportsCenter.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Notre Dame is off to playing for a national title. They await the winner of tonight's semifinal between Ohio State and Texas in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl. And this is really kind of salt in the wound for Brian Kelly, former Notre Dame coach. Do you remember what he said? When he was hired at LSU?
What was that?
He wanted the he wanted to be at a place where they had the resources to win a national championship. And that Notre Dame and LSU were on different paths. 3 years later, here comes Marcus Freeman leading the Fighting Irish to a national title appearance. And the bracket may have slid their way, and their schedule may not have been all that tough, even though their schedule next year is going to be hellacious, Notre Dame's, that is. This year, they withstood a loss to Northern Illinois, and here they are playing for a national championship. And in last night, Riley Leonard, in his box score, isn't going to blow your hair back. He had two interceptions, one which I thought was, I mean, well, it turned the entire game because it looked like Notre Dame was in control. And then he throws an interception to deny Dennis Smith, who I have just been blown away with as a pass rusher and run stopper for this Penn State team. But Riley Leonard not expecting the defensive end to drop back into coverage and then fully extend out to pick off that ball. Meh. Those kind of throws happen from time to time. But he made throws when they mattered, and he was opportune. And look, Jaden Greathouse had an unbelievable game. Two guys fell over on one touchdown catch.
Holy broken legs.
I mean, he got off the line of scrimmage, and the DB does slip, but he hits the ground. The second one, he just turned around the safety, and the safety's like, whoop! Gone, and he's in the end zone for a touchdown.
I haven't seen somebody get stanky-legged in the open field that hard in a long time.
Yep, and so he had guys step up, and that he had, I think they said on the broadcast, he had 19 catches on the season and seven in that game. So that was kind of a coming out party for
him,
I would say. I would say that he kind of made his presence felt there. But on top of that, that Jeremiah Love touchdown run is about as great of a run as you will ever see.
Bananas.
I mean, he got hit four times and refused to go down. And this is a guy who's nursing a dinged up knee because he hurt it hurtling in the semifinal game or the quarterfinal game, which he also said, I think he told sideline reporter, was it Molly McGrath last night? He told her that he was going to give it a whirl, but he wasn't going to play. The only rule and the only restriction he had was no more hurdling. And then he has one of the most insane hurdles that you will ever see, where he jumped directly over a defensive back. He had two incredible runs in that game.
And it wasn't like he jumped over a guy that was, you know, low on the ground. He cleared a dude.
No, he just went boing and went right over the top. But that touchdown run, that is championship level football right there. And they didn't, like, and that's the thing, it was a defensive game.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody crushed the stats except for Penn State's rushing stats, where they're averaging 5 yards a carry. They went for over two bills. They could not throw the ball.
No.
Notre Dame showed that they had a little bit of balance because Riley Leonard was in his bag at times. You get the good and the bad, though, because he's not an elite quarterback throwing the football.
No, the Jeremiah Love thing, we talked about this before the game. He's a guy who's averaging, or came into the game averaging 7.3 yards per carry, but had not had more than 14 carries in a game this season. But he is, he was on Bruce Feldman's freak list, and you can see why. He is a absolute monster. He is a quick twitch, incredibly strong, crazy balanced running back. Like, it's just, he has all of the things. Like, he's got size, he's got speed, he's got strength, he's got the acceleration, the deceleration, the power. Like, he is a full package. The problem is, I hate saying this, he's not made of glass, but he's very injury prone. He's one of those guys where it's kind of like Derrick Rose or Zion Williamson, where like, they're just kind of too explosive for their frame. And so he gets a calf, or he gets a hammy, or those are the things that he gets, shows up. But when he does stuff, this is what he does. And it's just
crazy, man.
It's insane what he can do and how capable and just truly special of a running back and athlete that he is. Riley Leonard is, it's not that he's not an athlete. He is an athlete, but it's not pretty. It's, it is, I kept calling him, he's a battering ram. It's he's just going to sit there and bang the door down. And every now and then, you're going to drop the hot oil on him. You're going to hit him with some arrows. Like, but it's just going to keep going until the doors come down. And that's what happened.
He is really fun. He is fun to watch in that regard because of the fact that, look, you never know what you're going to get when he drops back to throw. But he'll tuck it and run the design run game. I love Riley Leonard. I liked him at Duke last year, but I did not anticipate him having the ability to take Notre Dame to a national championship game. And look, if Drew Aller doesn't throw that interception, think of where that game goes if that game just goes to overtime, right?
Mm-hmm.
33 seconds to go, okay? Overtime, you start on the 25-yard line, right? And then once you get to that third overtime, is it third overtime? You go to the two-point conversions.
Yeah.
Okay? One team was averaging 2.8 yards per carry. The other team was averaging 5.
Yeah.
There would have been a clear and distinct advantage mm-hmm. for Penn State running the football and playing within themselves, especially on a shortened field.
Forcing the other team to make a mistake.
Against Notre Dame.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's the thing I said to you during the break. If you had told me that Notre Dame is held to less than 3 yards per carry and Riley Leonard threw two picks, Penn State absolutely beat the crap out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Like, just looking at the box score, you would not think that Notre Dame won this game. Not even won this game, that was in this game.
But what do we say in March Madness? Survive in advance.
Yep. And that's Notre Dame in a nutshell, though. This is not unfamiliar territory to them. This is what they have done all season long, with the exception of Northern Illinois.
Yeah, and here they are. They're going to be playing for a national title. The bracket broke their way, but they've created their opportunities to win football games. And now you have Notre Dame awaiting the winner of Texas, Ohio State tonight in the Cotton Bowl. All right, 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. You can text us, be a part of the show. This is Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. And we'll dive into the Texas, Ohio State Cotton Bowl coming up a little bit later, as well as all the matchups in NFL's wild card weekend. But there's some college football stuff to clean up here. Mainly something that came to the surface today. KEZI Channel 9 down in Eugene reporting that former University of Oregon wide receiver Ryan Pelham was arrested on Wednesday in Springfield. And the charges are pretty serious.
Pretty wild.
He is accused of pistol whipping somebody at a party on Christmas Day down in his hometown of Long Beach, California. And then, according to the warrant, he fired two shots into the air afterwards in a direction that I guess couldn't be determined, but he fired two shots. I'm assuming they were in the air because nothing else was hit. But that's just an assumption. Pelham, though, was arrested. He had entered the transfer portal and was no longer a member of the Oregon football team.
Yeah.
But he was arrested in Springfield. That's a serious thing. That's a very serious charge. Pistol whipping somebody?
That's so hard that they
firing
need
two shots? Yeah, yeah. Got needed stitches in the head. I mean, causing serious injury.
And that the cops said, no, we're going to come get you.
Yeah.
And
it was a nationwide extraditable warrant.
Yeah. Basically, we're coming to get you. And that happens in Las Vegas a ton when you commit crimes down there. They're going to come get you because they don't want tourists coming to their city and doing things and thinking they can get away with it.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, not the worst note of a college football player that's out there today, where Kyron Lacy at LSU is the target of investigation of a felony involuntary manslaughter and felony hit and run. He is accused or linked to a car accident that killed a former Marine and severely injured two others on December 17th.
Yikes.
And on December 19th, he posted to social media that he was leaving for the NFL.
Yeah. Well, and like to call it a homicide means that it was with intent, right? Like,
non-negligent homicide. Or let me make sure I have the...
No, homicide is just... So it doesn't mean it's intent.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's, because what would he say there? Involuntary.
I want to make sure I get the, because it's a different state. So this is charges of negligent homicide.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it is like, failing to do something that causes the death of another.
Yikes.
I think the intent, that's where the murder charge comes in, you know.
The hit and run went, whoop, he gone.
Felony hit and run. So these, like, God, these are very, and you, when you see the wreck, it's a head-on collision.
And then he entered the NFL draft 2 days later.
2 days later. And this is not the first time Kyron Lacy's name has come up.
Yikes.
With insert thing here. So, not a great day for college football players that have committed heinous crimes. Allegedly.
No. It does.
I'm surprised Lacy there didn't transfer to Georgia.
It does make more sense as to why Ryan Pelham entered the transfer portal so abruptly, though. But yeah, two stories to keep an eye on. Also, in the world of college football, Carson Beck, who removed his name from the NFL draft yesterday, the Georgia quarterback who tore his UCL. I don't know how long that is for recovery for a football quarterback. But baseball pitchers, we look at it, that's like a year. Yeah. But it doesn't seem like this is going to be your normal Tommy John type surgery and recovery. He has committed to the University of Miami.
I think I saw that basically he could start throwing again around March.
So spring ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably be that's out good. For spring ball, but be ready for like summer camp.
Yeah. I don't know what is more surprising, that he entered his name for the NFL draft or that within 24 hours after taking his name out of the NFL draft,
here comes
he
Miami.
Already was committed to Miami.
Wow. Almost like probably he had that going already.
Yeah, that's usually how a lot of these things go.
Like maybe there was mild tampering.
Yep. Well,
mild?
Look, when you hear about a lot of these tampering things, it's not like Miami directly wasn't reaching out to him. This is what the collectives do to the agent of Carson Beck. And
Carson Beck himself and his agent could have instigated it or initiated it. Like, I'm not blaming Miami. I'm just saying the fact that this deal is done so fast.
I don't think George is too broken up about it.
No. But also, I don't think Gunnar Stockton's their answer either.
Nah. They'll find somebody in the portal.
It's interesting. There's some big-time programs that are going to need some quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Georgia probably looking. Ohio State will be looking. Oregon could be looking.
No,
I mean, it's
doubt about it.
Going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out if you're talking about the teams that want to stay at the top that were in the college football playoff this year. Notre Dame.
I would be surprised if Oregon went into the portal just with how their quarterback room looks right now and how many guys they have in-house now. Well, how many guys they have in it. I mean, that's the reason why they brought Dante Moore in, and Dante Moore sat and redshirted for a year and kind of, you know, gulped his pride and said, I'm going to sit for a year. I'm going to learn. I'm going to familiarize myself with the offense, and I'm going to come in and try to master this thing in my first year as a starter with 3 years left to play. And then with Austin Novosad behind him, Luke Moga, Akili Smith Jr., like they already have a lot of guys in that quarterback room. Now, somebody is probably going to leave come spring ball because that's usually what happens, right? But as before spring ball wraps up, I would be surprised if Oregon went into the portal for a quarterback, you know, just because if you look at it, it looks like they feel comfortable at that position and there's needs elsewhere, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But Carson Beck is going to Miami, which this is going to become the thing, though, is that at some point, too, you as a program, you've got to start developing your guys, though, and having your guys ready to go. You know, Oregon went Bo Nix and had him for 2 years, and that's a little bit different. But they went with Dylan Gabriel and the hired gun for a year. And my goodness, did he look good. And was it successful with 1 year? But look at the difference in quarterbacks from year one to year two in a system and how much more comfortable they feel. And look at Bo Nix. Even though Kenny Dillingham left and Will Stein came in, it was familiarity with his receivers. They kept a lot of the terminology the same from Dillingham over to Will Stein. And Bo Nix had literally a historic season playing quarterback.
Keeping it going.
Completing the highest percentage of passes in college football history for a single season. So, I mean, year one to year two, there is a massive jump. And having a quarterback there for that second year, that's really important. Which is why, you know, Penn State is so happy Drew Aller's going to be coming back.
Again.
But he could make a jump.
I honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see him enter the transfer portal because
No, Bo Perbula's out. Like, they're going to try to keep him.
Well, I know, but even then.
Just to wash himself
you're
of.
You're a pariah in that program right now.
I don't know. Penn State, if. Everything that's happened at Penn State and they still wrap their arms around them.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the quarterback. What will he have to do to clear his name of that interception? You know what I mean? Like, it's not you know, missing the ground ball between the legs type of deal. It's not Bartman interfering for the Cubs, but it's, if you read basically every Penn State blog, every Penn State paper, every Penn State reporter, like, they are crucifying that kid. He is public and like James Franklin's probably public enemy number one, but as far as the players, they're calling it the worst interception they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's like, oof, this is.
Ooh, here's an interesting text. Of the four Northwest schools, which one do you think feels best about their quarterback situation for next year? I think I'd go, just because they've had the guy for a year. Oregon 1, Washington 2 with DeMond up there, and then Oregon State 3, and then Washington State 4.
Because Washington State has to figure everything out.
They have to figure, yes. And there's a lot of unknown with what's going on up there. But, yeah, I mean, because Dante Moore, guy they wanted, prize recruit, has started games before, sat back, learned the offense.
Which is not the norm in college football anymore.
Nope. I think they feel good. DeMond Williams up at Washington. We saw a spark that he can give it. Mm-hmm. He can give the Huskies, and he can be dynamic, man. He is fast, and once he settles in and feels more comfortable in the pocket, DeMond Williams is going to be a good one. With Oregon State, I think Malik Murphy, you look at that and you go, he has every intangible, had a phenomenal year at Duke, but you also have to say the faith you have in your quarterback is also relying on what's around him too. And there's a lot to be determined at Oregon State there. All right, 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. The hometown team wrapped up a road trip last night. 5-game roadie in Dallas and in the snow and in the ice. A game bumped ahead an hour, and the Blazers did not finish off that fourth quarter as well as they thought they would. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.